Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Yes, you're now once again tuned into Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., coming to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan. I come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On tonight, we have none other than Deacon Marvin Cox will be bringing forth God's word once again on tonight. We always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all the listeners that have dialed in, those that will continue to dial in on tonight, those that are listening through social media platforms around the world on tonight, we know that, as I have foretold you all, that Deacon Marvin Cox, again, he's going to be bringing forth God's word shortly on tonight. But his wife, Betty Cox, is now hospitalized. Thank God that he's just going to come forth and share the good news of Jesus Christ on this worldwide platform on tonight. But we want to continue to lift him up in prayer. And his wife, Betty, she had a stroke. And they at first said that she was going to be in the hospital for 2 weeks, but now they changed it that she would be there and through the hospital and rehabilitation, she would be there for 2 months. So he's on his way home now from the hospital. So he just called me and told me that he's on his way home now, that he will be dialing in very shortly. So I want you all to stay on the line. Do not hang up, because we always know that he always shares with us inspirational points, and he always delivers a powerful word from the Lord. So we want to continue to lift up Deacon Marvin Cox and his wife Betty in our prayers. We give it a go into prayer right now. Because we serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. We want to continue to lift up our sister in Christ, Sister Tara Doss. She has some physical issues going on with her right now, but we know that God is our healer. So we know that God can do anything but fail. So we want to, again, all those that are still dialing in, thank God for you. Again, stay on the line. Deacon Marvin Cox is on his way from the hospital he should be on the line very shortly. Again, his wife, Betty Cox, is in the hospital. She had a massive stroke. So we're going to continue to lift him and his wife up in prayer. But he is going to be bringing, will be bringing forth God's word on the show tonight. So stand by. We're going to open up with prayer as we always do. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your holy and righteous name because you are truly worthy of our praise. No matter what it looks like, no matter what we're going through, you're still worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. You still have an whole and always are whole and have all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. We thank you that you are in total control at all times. You don't slumber nor sleep. You're not like man. You don't forget. You are a promise keeper. So we just bless your name on tonight. We give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. Now, Heavenly Father, we come now asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions in the name of Jesus, starting with myself, my entire family, even Marvin Cox and his wife Betty, and all of those, Heavenly Father, that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver, and strengthen your people that are sick and afflicted. We know that we don't have to send you anywhere because you're already there. And as we forestay, we lift up our sister in Christ, Sister Tara Doss. You know what she's going through, Heavenly Father. And we know that, again, we know that you are the healer. So once you have healed them, our sisters and brothers in Christ that are going through physical challenges and mental challenges, I lift up my nephew, Robert Edwards, to you on tonight. You know what he's going through. He have a lot of challenges that he's going through physically and mentally. So continue to touch, heal, and strengthen his body, mind, and spirit as only you can in the name of Jesus. All those that are sick and afflicted all over the land, we pray, Lord, that you will move by your spirit, heal them, Heavenly Father, strengthen them, be healed in the name of Jesus. And once they are healed, delivered, and set free, they will not be afraid to be a witness to you and let the world know that it's you who have healed them, delivered them, and set them free in the name of Jesus, we pray. And Father, we continue to lift up all those that have bereaved on tonight. We said that there is continuing to be mass shootings all over America. We just found out on the news today that three police officers in another state just got shot and killed on last night. So we know that you are, again, you're still sitting high, you're looking low. So we ask that you will comfort and strengthen all those that are bereaved on tonight all over the land for whatever situation, however they have lost a loved one for whatever reasons. Comfort and strengthen all those that are bereaved on tonight. Let them feel your peace, your joy, your strength, your presence, even as they grieve and while they're going through the hour of bereavement. Help them to remember that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray now that you will move by your spirit on tonight through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox. Even though he have situations going on in his life, he's still being faithful and bringing forth your word on tonight. So strengthen him, Heavenly Father, as only you can in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that your word will go forth with power on tonight, that should there be any listener that's not saved in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord, that your word will go forth, that they will hear your word, not only hear your word, they will receive your word, and they will also open their own mouth to confess their sins and transgressions in the name of Jesus on tonight. And that's what must they do to be saved. In Jesus' name, we pray that you will get the glory. Heavenly Father, we lift up my pastor and shepherd, Pastor Mark C. Holloway, the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church family. I continue to lift up Bishop James Jennings and the Greater Shirley Faith Baptist Church family, and all those that are being faithful doers of your word all over the land, those that are standing on your word, teaching and preaching your word around the world, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to use us individually as a corporate body of believers, that you would continue to be glorified through each one of us, and that our labor and our work for you in the earth will not be in vain. So now, Lord, we continue to ask that you will move by your spirit, continue to bless every listener that faithfully tunes in to this worldwide ministry platform. Bless them, strengthen them, grant them the desires of their hearts that will give you glory, honor, and praise is our prayer. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, tonight we do have another spiritual food for thought. And it comes to us saying on tonight, God will give permission for your provision that will glorify him. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. God will give permission for your provision that will glorify him. I do welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Please take note that I do not own the copyrights to any music or from this worldwide ministry platform. Very quickly, in the form of announcement, for those of you that would like to participate or be a part of my younger sister's gospel stage play, God has blessed her to write another gospel stage play. This one is titled A Dream for Mama, and it will be taking place on next Saturday at the Mary Grove College in Detroit, Michigan. Brother Rob Mitchell will be serving as the host. That's going to be taking place at 4 o'clock p.m. next Saturday at the Mary Grove College in Detroit, Michigan, on the west side of Detroit. So if you are interested in witnessing this gospel stage play and you don't have your ticket and you would like to be a witness to this gospel stage play, you hold on just 1 second. I'm getting information right now for you so you can, again, it's going to be taking place next Saturday at the Mary Grove College, and that address is 8425 West McNichols Road. That's Detroit, Michigan, 48221. If you need more information, you can call area code 248-220-7965. The tickets are $30. General admission tickets are $30. If you would like to attend and you would like to cash app for your tickets, you can cash app my younger sister at cash app $Danetta, D-A-N-E-T-T-A, Danetta Bernie. Once again, that's cash app $Danetta Bernie, or you can go to Venmo, V-E-N-M-O, Venmo at Danetta-Bernie. Again, that's for the stage play on next Saturday at Maple Grove College titled A Dream for Mama. Once again, Brother Rob Mitchell will be serving as the host for this upcoming gospel stage play that the Lord has blessed my younger sister, Danetta Bernie, to write. Once again, another gospel stage play. So we see that Deacon Marvin Cox have dialed in. So again, before he comes forth with another inspirational poem, we thank God for him. Thank God for his obedience and being faithful, that even though he's going through situations with his wife and her illness and her sickness while she's in the hospital, that he's still coming forth and being faithful and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ over the worldwide platform on tonight. So we want to keep him lifted up in prayer and his wife as well. We're going to go to our music break. And because of what the world is dealing with right now, even though we know that God sits high and look low, the prayers of the righteous still avail as much. So that's something that we should never forget or take lightly or don't take lightly or for granted. The prayers of the righteous avail as much. So because of that, that's why we're going to pray once again on tonight. Pray for me. And then once we finish with this music break, we're going to come back and yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. And I do pray and hope that you have your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready to follow along as we go through God's word once again on tonight. And following his message, we will be opening up the phone lines once again. Should there be any listeners that have a question pertaining to tonight's message, or if you want to give Deacon Marvin Cox words of encouragement, you will have an opportunity to do so following the message on tonight. So right now, enjoy the music break.
Come on, KD.
Here's an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir.
Yes, 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 yes. We cannot pray enough. Yes, we need to be praying day, morning, noon, and night. The way things are going today, the way this world is going, and the way the enemy is, it seems like he's just in control, but we thank God that we know that he's not in control. He has limited power. He can only do what God allows him to do, but that's why we, it's so important that we continue to pray one for another. Before I bring on Deacon Marvin Cox, who's standing by, thank God for him, I want to say a happy birthday to my oldest sister, Janice Nielsen, who lives in Amherst, Massachusetts. I want to give a shout-out to her, my oldest sister, Janice Nielsen, birthday, and also to my cousin, James King, down in Greensboro, North Carolina. We want to say happy birthday to him as well. We thank God for giving them another opportunity to see another, and celebrate another birthday. We should never take that lightly or for granted. So right now we are ready to receive Deacon Marvin Cox. Deacon Marvin Cox, I thank you for being faithful and dedicated, that you are coming forth even with your wife Betty in the hospital, that you're still doing what God has set for you to do, that he will still get the glory through you on tonight. So I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brown. First of all, I thank the Lord for blessing my wife to be on the road to recovery. Thank Brother Brown for his prayers. And I cannot leave out all of the listeners who said a prayer in my name as well as my wife's name. I thank everybody for their prayers and their support. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to immediately get into tonight's lesson. And it's asking the question, why God chose me. My talents, is that what he saw long ago? My talents, I see that the answer is no. My looks, just a mirror dispels that thought. That's why he called me. He called me for naught. My wisdom, not even a trace do I see. Then why? Tell me why. Then my Savior called me. And just like the wind as it glides through the sky, a voice softly answers, yes, I'll tell you why. Because when I looked, you were nothing to see. And when I shine through nothing, then men will see me. I call men to weakness so I can be strong. I even call the downcast, and I give them a song. I call out of nothing so when something appears, men give me glory. And down through the years, it's been so, though the world is appalled, not many noble nor wise have been called. The poor man, the weak man, so often despised, come alive at God's touch, and the world is surprised. The fruitless, the failures, the dregs of the earth become princes and kings when God's son gives them birth. And in spite of their past or how they were raised, God gives them life, and the world is amazed. Your credentials for heaven, I'll give you a clue, but only that God has found Jesus in you. In spite of your weakness, your failures, your health, in spite of your lack of applause, your praise, or your wealth, he called, he equipped, he set from above, and made you his chosen, and bathed you in love. So it's only that God and his infinite power gave us himself in that marvelous hour. When he said yes to his gift of grace, and Jesus said yes as he took our place. What a trophy you are. What a victory indeed, but not for our value, but rather our need. And let's yield all we are, all we have, all we own. Relinquish our pride and come down from our throne. And turn to Jesus, let's worship and praise, that he will be Lord all the rest of our days. My talents, my wisdom, no, dear God, now I see. It was grace and grace only that you should choose me. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to go into tonight's lesson, and it's a great lesson. I'll be reading to you from the book of Psalms, the 51st chapter, verse number 5, and it reads, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And I'm going to read to you also from the book of 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse. And it reads, All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Amen. I just read to you from the book of Psalms, 51st chapter, 5th verse, and from book of 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse, from the King James Bible. And may the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the doing of his word and his will, and he may it edify our souls forever. Amen.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
The Lord gave me a message to give to his people tonight. And you know how you look around you, and you know, we look about politics, and there are some people that feel, you know, that they can't do no wrong, that they are untouchable, that they are above sin. They say the word is that no man is above the law. But I'm going to take it one step further tonight and say that no man is exempt from sin, which brings us to our topic tonight, which is born to do wrong, but trained to do right. Amen. I want to repeat that to you once again. I was born to do wrong, but I was trained to do right. Now, in Psalm 51 and 5, King David is telling us that from the conception of his birth, from when his mother conceived him in her womb, that he was sinful. And this is a scripture. It's a scripture of repentance, because, see, he had to know at this particular time in his life. And, see, it's good when you be able to recognize those things ahead of time. So it's telling us one simple thing, that we're born to do wrong, but we must be trained to do right. And if you look at all the things in life that we encounter, it takes a certain amount of training. When we're young and we begin to escape from our adolescence, some of us, most of us, have to be potty trained. Okay, and then as we get older, we go to school and we have to be trained to sit up and pay attention to the teacher. So this training that we talk about, it said that all, verse 2 Timothy 3 and 16, said all scripture is inspired by God and profitable. So it's to your benefit that you be taught for reproof, for correction, and also for training in righteousness. It says that we're born to do wrong, but we must be trained to do right, because we are in sinful nature as well as sinful flesh. So, and you can tell when somebody has been trained properly, because they're going to treat you right. You can tell when somebody's been trained properly, because when they do something that offends you, they're going to come back and they're going to reconcile with you. So God's word is telling each and every last one of us tonight that it's time to come down off of that high horse. Time for us to realize that we need to go back to training. Some of us, and see, it's a big difference in being trained and being taught. See, because, see, I can teach you, and see, training is a little bit more advanced than teaching. See, you could teach somebody something, but it does not become instinctive. But when you train somebody something, it becomes instinctive to them. They begin to do things and react into certain situations without even being aware, because some things we have to react instantaneous. So we have to be trained. And when you're in the army, you have to, what do they have? They have the first 6 weeks, they have what is known as basic training. When a young lady reaches her adolescence or her puberty, she has to wear a training bra. So look at all this training to see, we could train the flesh, but God's word says that, it say, be ye transform. No, be ye not conformed, but be ye transformed. Why? Because of the renewing of your mind. So we have to train our thoughts, because it's easy to react to a situation. It's easy to conform and to go along with something because we have not been trained that it's not good. We have not been trained that it's against God. We have not been trained that this is strictly unrighteousness. Now, we know that sin is immoral. We know that sin is wrong. So coinciding with tonight's scripture, we're born to do wrong. It's just in our nature to do wrong. So my brothers and sisters, we have to show a certain amount of restraint out there in the world. We cannot do what the world is doing. That's all we're saying. Be ye transformed. Don't conform. Don't go along with that. But be ye transformed. We got to train our thoughts. Even when it seems like people are going against us, even when it seems like we don't have a friend in the world, because I'm telling you, people are going to rebel against the truth. Now I'm going to go over to Romans, the 7th chapter and the 15th verse, from the 15th down through the 20th verse. And this, you know, if we don't understand the scriptures, it can be very confusing. And the Lord just truly opened up my eyes to this scripture as I was studying. And it reads, Romans 7, 15 through 20. But that which I do allow, not for what I would, that I do. That I do not. But what I hate, that I do. Now, this is a confusing sequence of scriptures where the writer was telling us that, hey, that which I do allow, I do not. And that which I do not, and that I hate, that is what I do. So I have to be trained in that 15th verse of Romans. I have to be trained that I cannot follow my humanly instinct. Because if I follow my humanly instinct, it's going to get me in trouble. Then in verse number 16, and then I do that which I would not. Now, have you ever been in a situation in your life and a situation came up and you asked yourself, you questioned yourself, now, why I make a dumb move like that? Why did I do that? So sometimes we do not what we should do, what we don't do, what we, you know. So it says, I consent to the law that is good. And then I do that which I would not. Then, see, this is an acknowledgement right here. This is telling each and every last one of us that, first of all, we have to come to the realization that what we're doing is wrong. But see, when I consent to the law, I'm making an acknowledgement, because, see, consent is an acknowledgement of something. It's an acknowledgement of I'm aware. Now, number 17, it says, now it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And this brought it all together. When you're aware of what you're doing, you can't blame it on sin.
They
say, the old preachers used to say, when you know better, you do better. So once this awareness, spiritual awareness comes to you, then you no longer can blame it on sin. You can't even blame it on Satan, because there was something, that which I do not, that which I should do, I do. So we have to be careful here. Now, moving right along to verse number 18. But it says, for I know that in me, which we're talking about our flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is to present with, is present with. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. So we have to look, because Lord in Matthew tell us that, hey, we got to seek and find, we have to look for righteousness. Because see, we might go into that den of thieves and there's no righteous individuals in there. So we have to, you know, search after that righteousness. We have to seek it, because sometimes when we're in the wrong place,
that righteousness can be very elusive. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. So we have been in those situations where we have had to ask the assistance of the Lord. Lord, help me out of this situation. Say, for the good that I would, I do not. Now, let me break this down. Sometimes we might run across somebody that is in need, and we might have it to spare, but not comply or not do anything to help them out, because God's word says a strong heart from each other. Because I know it's been many days that I've walked away from somebody, and I was not satisfied until I went and found them and did something for them. So that which I should do, I do not. So that's a conscious work right there. But the evil that I would not, that I do. Wow, this, as I say, if you're not careful, it could be extremely confusing, but it's saying that with this conflict, with this war, with this tug of war, see, Paul says, and he tells us that it's a spiritual war going on inside each and every last one of us. And it's going on not weekly, not yearly, not every millennium, but death. And so by this being the case, we have to put it in check. It says, for that which I do, I would not. Something is not going the way that it should go. Now, we'll go over here to number 20. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Okay, so we're just looking at this. And we're saying that Paul is saying that some of our actions, we cannot blame it. We can no longer blame it on sin. Say, that's me. That's me. It's my actions that thing. But see, we always blame it on sin. But once you become aware of it once again, then it is no longer your responsibility. Once you aware of something, then you can very easily cut it off, or you can just abandon it. So Paul was just telling us that we have to be aware, because see, that tug of war is going to always pull us in the wrong direction. It's going to not pull us in the wrong direction, but it's going to pull us this way, and then it's going to pull us in the other way. So we're going to move right along. The Ephesians 4:12 say, for the equipment of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. My brothers and my sisters, I hope that this training, see, sometimes, you know, my wife, she just recently had a stroke, and she lost her motor movement. She was still cognizant of all the things that's going on, but it kind of, like, jacked up her body. And now she's in rehab, and guess what? They got to train her. They got to train her to bring back that muscle memory so she can pick up something, because left hand is not responding the way that she would like it. So we have to train ourselves, because he picking up something off the floor is just instinctive to us. Doing what's wrong is instinctive to us. We have to be trained to do what is right. Now, we're going to move right along over here to 1 Corinthians 9:25. It says, everyone who competes in games exercise self-control in all things. So if you're going to compete, then what do they do before the first 6 weeks? Once again, they go to training camp. And they just do things repetitiously in order for them to become instinctive in their actions. And, you know, have you ever, you know, somebody that has done something, and before you know it, you reacted, and they didn't think that you would react that fast. Why? Because you were trained. Because it was instinctive to you. So we're going to move right on. It says, it has nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old ones. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose
or godliness. So discipline is a form of training. You know, you train and we make the sacrifices, and as I said, running in that marathon race, you have to condition your body to take the pounding that is going to be inflicted upon it. In this Christian life, we have to condition our mind for the rhythm of roll that people are going to throw at us. Because a lot of times, you know, I understand people get cussed out in 17 different languages, and seven of them fluently. And it seems like it did not faze them. Why? Because they trained themselves for that foolishness and that garbage talk that people were going to do or do to them. So once we begin to train and we renew our mind and train our mind and train our bodies, because it goes hand in hand, then it becomes second nature for us. Now, Hebrews 12:11 says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. In other words, when you're going through some stuff, when you're going through your training, you know, it ain't going to be no good occasion. You're going to be sore. You're going to be tired. You're going to be wore out. But the reward of that, and you'll start feeling better and better and better and better and better. But once you initiate yourself into something and you're not familiar with it, it's going to be difficult. But yet to those who have trained by it, after it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So way after a while, so you've got to keep on, pushing. Mother Phillips, you got to keep on pushing. Mr. Gwynn, you got to keep on pushing. Pastor King, you got to keep on pushing. Got to keep on training. You see, this is one thing that we never get enough of. Brother Brown, got to keep on. Got to keep on training. And see, if you notice, doctors, every now and then they have what is known as a refresher course. They go back and learn what they already knew, but they have, with the modern technology, they learn a new technique. And that's why we got to constantly, because this world is constantly changing. It's getting wickeder, but it's getting wiser. So we have to keep on renewing our training. Okay, now Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for mature, who because of practice have the senses trained to discern good and evil. Now, if you notice, a baby drinks milk. Why? Because the system is not trained to eat a steak. You don't have the choppers to grind up that steak. That steak is still on their belly. That's why they give them formula. That's why they give them soft food. But all the while they feed this baby, that the baby is still growing. And see, sometimes, you know, you might want meat. But I've heard Brother Brown say many times, there's a whole lot of meat left on that bone. So sometimes when our digestive system have been trained to consume that, and our caloric intake begins to take on this, and our spiritual intake improves, then we can do that. But we must be mature. And I'm talking about mature in the mind, to say, because our senses trained to discern good and evil. So we have to be able to look and know and discern when things are not right for us. So we're going to move right along. We know that in Proverbs 22nd chapter is given our parents instruction, training, tell them to do one thing. They train up a child in the ways in which he should go. So parents, you have to train your children. You have to train them in such a way that you point them basically in the right direction. So that's a responsibility. But see, I know that some of you probably have been, the charity starts in the home and then it goes abroad. So we got to train our children, take away those tablets, take away those telephones, take away that internet. And we got to train them, because I know there's been many people that have been out with their family looking for a real peaceful meal, and there were some people, they call them baby kids, the baby brought her kids there, and them kids was all over the place. And the first response that the people, peaceful people, were saying, those kids ain't got no home training. So we must train. Acts 27:22. Moses was educated in all the learning of the Egyptians. And he was a man of power in words and deeds. So see, he put into effect his training. Each and every last one of us, Sunday school, BTU, Bible class, choir, all of this is a form of training. But going back to Corinthians, it says all of these things are from God. All of these things that we are looking at, all these things that we have consumed, all of these things that we are learning, it's all scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching. So whatever, and this is what I learned to do, I was trained to do, whenever I see a scripture or read a scripture, I said to myself, how does that apply to me? Because the Bible will tell you one thing, it tells you, to tell you two things. How to be or how not to be, like Shakespeare. That is question. In the examples, we say to ourselves, I would like to be like that, or I don't want to be like that. So it's good. It's inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching. Now, we know that over in Psalm 140 and 1, now this is David, King David talking. He said, bless be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. So we have to be trained to fight. And why I say that? Because we know about the whole armor of God. And one thing, or the worst thing that I consider, and that is a helpless Christian. God gave that ability. All he said is lift up holy hands. You know, if you keep his commandments and act with the will in his name, my Father will do it for you. So we have to be able to train. But see, if you think I'm talking out the side of my neck, just think about David when he went up against Goliath. He was skilled at that, began twirling it and spinning it and rotating it and so forth and on. But so he was skillful. But he didn't learn that overnight. He probably had been out hunting or whatever it was that he was doing at that particular time. But he had to be trained, just like each and every last one of us had to be trained. Isaiah 54 chapter said, all your sons will be taught of the Lord, and the well-being of your sons will be great. So we got to let the Lord teach us. We got to let the Lord train us. We got to allow him to do these things. For even in his word, in the last chapter of Matthew, he tells his disciples, he said, go out. I'm just paraphrasing. He said, go out to the highways and byways and compel them to go in, teaching them, so training them now, to observe all things. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So we have to be trained. This training is not something that you can take for granted. But see, sometimes we train, and we're being trained without knowing that we train. But see, it's going to have to take some type of a physical effort. It's going to have to take some type of effort on our part. Because see, a teacher might teach in class, but that knowledge will go. But if you train them and embed it in your students that this is what thus says the Lord, I guarantee you it will stick. That's what the problem said. You know, I heard a lot of parents, boy, didn't I not teach you better? Well, if you taught them, it would be instinctive for them not to do it. All right, we're going to move over here. It says, Proverbs, it basically says, do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. But our society has flipped the script. Now you find children with the belt, tell them mothers and their fathers, no, you go sit down, or I'm going to whoop you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's saying that the rod of correction is good, that when you, and see, you know, we say, some people say, I'm not going to discipline my child because my mother or my dad was heavy-handed with me. But that's not the case. You know, that's not the case. So we have to be mindful of these things. Proverbs 1 and 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. This is exactly what I was, what I'm talking about. And instruction is training. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. So there's a lot of things that's going on here. And because of your lack of education, it's what they say in John, the Jews were astonished, saying, how has this man become learned, having never been educated? Well, see, he was taught by the greatest teacher ever was. He was taught by his father. So we have to be mindful. Say, discipline your son while there's hope, and do not desire his death. Say, that the generation, Psalm 78 and 6, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may raise, arise, and tell them to their children. So, see, once we get this cycle of training going, that cycle of training will break generational curses that we sometimes participate in, that we sometimes forget about, that we sometimes let run rampant through our family. So David said that I was born to do wrong. But all of these scriptures that the Lord gave me to give to you this night is telling us that we have to be trained to do right. We have to be disciplined. We have to be mindful. We have to be receptive to these things. And I guarantee you, if you teach, if you listen, if you follow the instructions of your spiritual leader, I'm more than sure that at the end of your journey, that is going to be, you know, it says that, 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, says it's going to be beneficial to you. So, going to be a lot of good in it. Going to be a lot that's going to be to your advantage. Now, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I will not be disqualified. See, now, this is I'll call this a double whammy. This is, I call them a hypocrite and a hypocrite. Because he's saying that I want to discipline my body and make it my slave. So sometimes we got to tell our body what to do. Got to tell what to do. Hey, I don't care what you say. You're going to church with me today. Because sometimes we become a slave to pain. We'll become a slave to frustration. We'll become a slave to things that will capture us, and we will become their slave. It will tell us to do. It becomes our master. So 1 Corinthians 9 chapter says, hey, if I tell you something, see, Paul didn't want to be disqualified because he wanted to be credible. Now, have you ever seen somebody telling you something, but their life is raggedy than anything? It's like some moss got to the garment. So if you don't want to be disqualified, take a hold of your training. Do what it is that the Lord, first of all, the Lord tell you to do. And then if the pastor tells you something to do, if it don't sit right with you, ask the Lord, am I following sound doctrine? Am I doing what it is that you would have me to do? So I thank the Lord for tonight's lesson. Remember, the lesson is born to do wrong, but trained to do right. And it's something that they say, no man is exempt. I'm saying, so we have to constantly, every day, train ourselves to do what is right. So I thank you. Thank the Lord. Once again, I thank everybody for their prayers, for my wife as well as myself. And my wife told me to tell everybody that
that she appreciated. Prayer do work. So I'm going to turn you back over to the hands of Brother Brown, just in case somebody want to make a comment. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Deacon Robert Cox. Again, we thank you for being faithful and being committed and dedicated to what God has assigned to your hands, and that's to share the good news of Jesus Christ through his word. Even though he knows your situation, but he, thank God, he looks at our hearts. So we thank God that you have the strength to come forth over this worldwide platform on tonight and do and give us what God has given to you to share with his people on tonight. So right now the phone lines are open. Anyone like have a question for Deacon Marvin Cox pertaining to tonight's word, or if you want to give him words of encouragement? But before anyone does, I'd like to say to you, Deacon Marvin Cox, Sister Gwen Walker was on the line earlier when you first came on. I think she heard you for the first 15 minutes, but she had to go off the line because one of her church members had to be rushed to St. John's Hospital also on tonight, so that's where she's at now, on DeQuinder, at the St. John's Hospital on DeQuinder with one of her church members. So she told me to let you know that you and your wife are definitely still in her prayers. So once again, the phone lines are open for anyone else that I have a word of encouragement for Deacon Marvin Cox. You have an opportunity to do so now.
Dropped her and not even know
that.
I would never do that.
What are you doing?
Anyone?
Deacon Cox, I enjoyed this sermon tonight, and I'll be praying for your wife and your family.
Okay, I thank you so much.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Sister Mary Ann. Anyone else? The phone lines are open. Anyone else before we close out? Praise the Lord. Well, we just heard from Sister Mary Ann King from Greensboro, North Carolina. Pastor Norman King, sister, also my cousin. We thank God for her comment to Deacon Myron Cox. And also we thank God for Sister Gwen Walker. Again, she relayed a message to me that she had to rush. They had to go down to St. John's Hospital on DeQuinder in 11 Mile with one of the members from her church. So that's where she is now. So she, again, wanted me to relate to you, Deacon Cox, you and your wife, that you all are in her prayers and in our thoughts.
Okay.
Anyone else on the line that would have words for Deacon Marvin Cox?
Here, thank you.
The phone lines are still open. Anyone? Okay, then. Well, I just wanted to make sure I had given everybody an opportunity, because the lines are open. I do want to say to Deacon Robert Cox, I have another young lady on the line. I know that she's having a problem with her voice right now. Now, I'm sure that if she could speak right now, she would want to give you words of encouragement and let you also know that you and your wife, Betty, are in her prayers. And I'm speaking of none other than one of my church members, Sister Tara Dobbs. Sister Tara Doss. She is a member of the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church. Where I am also a member of. She is on the line. But once again, I know that she has some problems and issues with her voice. So don't try to talk. I know you. I hear you trying to say something, Sister Taylor. Don't say nothing. We already know, and the Lord knows your heart. He knows that you were like a Deacon Marvin Cox. Words of encouragement. Don't try to talk. So I'm passing. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I feel it.
Deacon Cox.
Yes, sir. I feel her. So,
okay. All right. I know she heard you. Sister Tara, Deacon Marvin Cox, he feels your spirit. He feels your presence. So don't try to talk. You just let the Lord continue to work on your body, that you will continue to be healed in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Pick up Cayenne. Tricky, ready to go.
Anybody? Yeah, Pastor King. Pastor King.
Pastor
Norman? I thought I heard Pastor Norman King. Before we go off the line, one more time, anyone else have a word for Deacon Marvin Cox before we close out for tonight? Well, before we close out tonight, I do want your listeners to know that on next Thursday night, if you could please dial in, listen in on next Thursday night, God has blessed me to be an internet radio host for 9 years. Next Thursday night, I thank Prophetess Teresa Phillips Dox and her husband, Elder QT Dox, and the Kingdom Builders International Ministry for letting me be under their administration for the first 3 years as a radio host up under Kingdom Builders for the first 3 years. And now I've been on my own with the Lord's help, not on my own, but with the Lord for 6 years. So total of 9 years next Thursday night. If you can tune in and dial in, we have a guest, none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson will be helping me celebrate my 9th year anniversary. He is from Washington, D.C. will be bringing forth God's word on next Thursday night, again, my 9th year anniversary as a worldwide radio host on internet radio. Again, God for Kingdom Builders Ministries and Prophetess Teresa Phillips, Elder QT Dot. Deacon, was that, Pastor Norman King, were you trying to say anything? I know we had an issue last time he was on. He was going to say something, but for some reason he could not come through. But anyway, we want to thank God for Pastor Norman King being on the line and everyone else that have dialed in, all of you that listen in through social media platforms around the world. And we, again, we thank God for this ministry. Now it's being heard through prisons all over the United States. Not only that, but all around the world. So we just give God the glory, honor, and praise for what he's doing through this worldwide platform. We're going to close out tonight in prayer as we always do. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus we come as your children, thanking you for who and all that you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy of our praise. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is still in your hands. We thank you that there is none like you. We thank you that you are a promise keeper. You are still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people that will give you glory, honor, and praise. For this, we give you glory in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray and ask that you will move by your spirit on tomorrow. And every door that's going to be open in Jesus' name, where your word is being preached and taught on tomorrow, and every door that's open in Jesus' name, move by your spirit through your men and women of God that are going to teach and preach your word on tomorrow. Even those that are on social media platforms that are teaching and preaching your word on tomorrow, be with them, lead and guide them through your word, that souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word on tomorrow, that you will get the glory. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. We continue to lift up Deacon Marvin Cox and his wife Betty, and now all those that are sick and afflicted, Sister Tara Dolph. We continue to ask that you will continue to touch her voice and strengthen her, Heavenly Father, as only you can in the name of Jesus. And all those that are sick and afflicted, all those that are bereaved, continue to comfort and strengthen them as only you can. Continue to have your way in each one of our lives individually, and then as a corporate body of believers, that you alone will get the glory as our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, once again, know that I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thyself. Cover me, Lord, with thy presence. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thy breath. Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me with thy thyself. Oh, cover me. Cover me with thy presence. Hey, oh. Oh, cover me. Cover me. Cover me. If you cover me, I'll be protected. If you cover me, I'll be shielded. Oh, cover me. I don't want to be exposed anymore. Cover me. Oh, cover me. Under shadow of the Almighty, I need